What are you afraid of? What is it that keeps you from being all God has called you to be? Is it insecurity? Do you doubt yourself? Maybe you fear rejection. Maybe you're worried if you take a stand that you'll be knocked down. Maybe you're afraid you don't matter very much. Or maybe you're living under the weight of unrealistic expectations. Whatever it is that you fear, whatever it is that holds you down or keeps you back, you need to know this. There is a better way. God is calling you to face your fears. The things in your life that keep you from having an impact on the world, they don't have to. You can overcome them. You can be fearless. If you're tired of your fear keeping you on the sidelines of what God wants to do through you, then fearless is for you. Fearless will lead you to a place where you're able to actively engage in God's calling on your life, leaving fear and insecurity behind. Fearless. Are you ready?
Blessings to you all. That bumper video is just a little highlight of what many of our students and a few of our counselors, our adult counselors, are going to be journeying through this week at camp. The entire big picture theme is called Fearless, conquering the fear that holds you back. And today, as a church body, we are going to be journeying through Psalm 23. So however you engage with Scripture, I encourage you to go ahead and open up your Bibles, or if you use a Bible app on your phone, go ahead and turn to Psalm 23. As you are headed there, I have one announcement that I would like to give. This upcoming October, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. We're going to press pause on our annual Falls Family Festival, and we are going to focus on a women's retreat and a men's retreat. Those are going to be two big things that are going to be happening in the month of October. And this announcement that you see on the screen right here. I'm a spiritual director, but I am also one who sees a spiritual director. My spiritual director, his name is Bill. He lives in Franklin, Tennessee. He and I Zoom together once a month, and we have for the last 3 years. But he also holds half-day silence retreats where you go and you are still before the Lord. You are silent before the Lord. You have an hour of spiritual direction with Bill, but a major, major focus of the time is you are silent before God. And if you are at all interested in being a part of that with me, please come talk to me. You can talk to me after service. You can email me. You can call me throughout the week. But this is something that I'm going to be doing. It's going to be like a Thursday through a Saturday morning type of thing. But the half a day silent retreat time will be Friday, November 10th. This is just for men. Bill just he does spiritual direction for men only. So this is just for guys. Five people max. So if we have more than five people, A, that's awesome, and we will run with that. We will do what we can with that. And B, just know that we have five people tops. There's a cost to it, but we can work out cost and fees and all that stuff. But if you're at all interested in participating in that, please come see me and we'll work it out. I'm very excited for our campers and our counselors this week. Again, the theme for this week is Fearless. Conquering the fear that holds you back, with a theme-driving verse that is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, does not make us weak, does not make us fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. For our campers and our counselors, I hope that by Saturday morning when parents come to pick you up, these words, they have driven deep down into your heart and God is using it to shape you and to form you. I hope that by the end of the week that is a result of this life-changing, life-altering sentence, if you allow it to shape you and to change you. A couple questions before we dive in to our main text. In the midst of a culture that is confused, that is angry, that is fearful, that is arrogant, that is prideful, that is chaotic. How do we daily live as Jesus followers in the midst of this confused, angry, fearful, arrogant, prideful, chaotic culture? How do we as Jesus followers live in the midst of the culture that we find ourselves? How do we respond? How do we interact? What is our responsibility to our culture? Because whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, we are a part of our culture. But that does not mean that we live like the culture tells us to live. Believe what the culture tells us to believe. There is a better, there is a more courageous way to live than simply giving in and giving up in the midst of our fear-based, our fear-driven culture. There are two things that I hope that you take away from you from this teaching this morning. The first one is this: we do not withdraw from culture. We don't run away from it. We don't withdraw from it. We engage our culture. Number four of our four E's that drive the mission of our church here at Church in the Falls is not to withdraw from the world, but to do what? To engage the world. It's a very important thing to be mindful of as we go throughout our day today. We do not withdraw from the world. No, we engage the world. And with that engaging, we do not conform to the world. We do not conform to our culture. We do not fear what our culture fears. We do not conform. We don't baptize what the culture tells us is right, good, true, kind, or just. And then because we baptize those things because our culture tells us to, it becomes Christian. No, it doesn't work like that. We don't baptize the message nor baptize the tools of the culture and then call it Christian. There is a better, more courageous way to engage the culture in which we live. We do not withdraw and we do not conform. Once again, I was reminded of a country music song. That's my checklist. But teaching, if I can throw in a country music song, check. Sermon's good. Amen. Aaron Tippin, how many of you know? Okay, well, I'm going to show my age. How many of you know Aaron Tippin? All right. A few know of Aaron Tippin. One of his famous songs that I'm always reminded of when I think about culture, when I think about not conforming, when I think about not withdrawing from culture, is if you want to stand for something, I'm getting it wrong. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Teens, think about that. Parents, grandparents, everyone in this room, think about that. Got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Who or what is our source of courage when life becomes fearful? Who or what is our source of courage when life becomes chaotic, when life becomes confusing, when life becomes conflicted, when life really, really gets hard and you're anxious and you're scared, don't know what step to make? Who or what is your source when life gets like that? Are you equipped to stand in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the chaos, and not be conformed to the pattern of this world? Who or what is your source? Life gets like that. There are two places in Scripture we are going to search for the answer to that question. One is Psalm 23, and I hope you're still there. But the other one is in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, going through 15. Jesus makes this very, very bold declaration about himself. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Next passage, there we go. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock, scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus' courage is connected to who? God the Father. Who is our source when life gets hard? Who is our source when life becomes fearful? For Jesus' answer, his answer is his Father, God the Father. The hired hand is anyone or anything other than Jesus in this text. The hired hand is just a metaphor. It could be a YouTuber. It could be culture in general. It could be some influencer in your life. But the hired hand, at the end of the day, does not care for the sheep. At the end of the day, the only one who cares for the sheep is the one who is known as the good shepherd. The hired hand in this text is anything or anyone other than Jesus. Put that in your context, into your life. Who is the hired hand in your life? Who is the hired man who is just there for a little while, but when things get tough, they're gone? But you put so much energy and so much effort and so much confidence into that person or into that thing. When it gets hard, when fear comes up, when chaos comes up, when anxiety comes up, they're gone. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I will be there. Times get tough. Psalm 23 is known as the Japanese steakhouse of the First Testament. Or you could say it's also known as the Brazilian steakhouse. Anybody ever had an opportunity to go to a Brazilian steakhouse before? Anybody? Got a few? All right. Travis and Al, were you guys given the red card and the green card When you went into them? Yeah. So green card means what? Bring on the meat. I want the meat. Don't stop. Red card means what? Stop. I've had too much. All right. Psalm 23 could be summed up as Brazilian steakhouse or Japanese steakhouse, where you hold up the green card and you're like, bring it on. I want the meat. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Psalm 23 is the green card of a Brazilian or a Japanese steakhouse. The first thing that I want us to pay attention to, Psalm 23, verse 1, is this idea that David is setting us up to see God as a provider. God is our provider. The Lord is our provider. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. How many of us in this room this morning can boldly declare that truth statement? The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack a thing because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my provider. The Lord as my shepherd means that in and through my shepherd, I have all that I need. When life becomes chaotic, when life becomes unpredictable, when the truth of our lack of control becomes really apparent, this verse has the divine opportunity to become really real. And the conviction of this verse has the divine opportunity to become really, really real, real life altering. What might it mean and what might it look for you to focus on and submit to the truth and the direction of this verse? Who is the source of your life when fear comes upon us? For David, he starts it plain as could be. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Peace giver. Peace giver. No raising of hands, but maybe right now there are someone, maybe there are many in this room whose hearts, whose lives need this verse, verse 2, become a daily reality in this storm of life that you are experiencing. Maybe you really, really need Psalm 23, verse 2, to become really, really real in your life. Not just words on a page, not just something that you're hearing out of my mouth right now, but you need Psalm 23, verse 2, to become real in your heart. Let me promise you this. Jesus is a promise keeper. Jesus is a promise keeper. If you hear this verse, if you actually shema this verse, if you pay so close attention to these words that it begins to do something to you, the truth of this statement will become a reality in your life. Check out this verse from Psalm, from John 16, verse 33. Got it, Ms. Carmen. There we go. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. If Jesus is a promise keeper, you can hold on to these words. These words are just more than words. This is more than just an influencer talking. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords talking here. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will be afraid. In this world, you will experience chaos. In this world, you will experience confusion. In this world, it will get hard. It will be tough. But because you have allowed me to become your good shepherd, this next statement brings peace to your mind, peace to your heart. Take heart. Be of good cheer. Be at peace. I have overcome the world. It's not peace from, as if you're withdrawing. It's not peace in something, as if you are conforming. It is and always will be the peace that comes from someone whose name is Jesus. And in Him and in Him alone will we all find the type of peace described here in Psalm 23. that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. In the midst of the fear, not running from fear, not escaping from the fear, but in the midst of the fear, Jesus, as our good shepherd, is our peace giver. Third thing is, okay, how do we go about finding this provider? How do we go about finding this peace that comes from this peace giver? Third thing is the path. He refreshes my soul, according to Psalm 23, verse 3. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. How many of you have ever noticed the direction, the action that's going on here in Psalm 23, 3? He guides. He is actively pursuing, actively at work, guiding me to the place of peace. Guiding me to a place of confidence and assurance that he is all I need. He is my provider. As my good shepherd, I lack nothing because he is guiding me along the right paths. For his name's sake. For he's the good shepherd. And he knows what's good for his sheep. As we travel through life, there will be times in life where we will desperately need help with directions. Every man in this room needs to say amen to that. Thank you, Sherman. Thank you, Daniel. Because all of us have gotten lost. All of us, without pre-GPSs, where we had the robot tell us where to turn and how to turn and et cetera, et cetera. We've all gotten lost. This isn't just for guys. This is for all of us. There will be times in life where we will need direction. There's a promise statement here from David that Jesus fills full of meaning as our good shepherd, that he guides, he directs. Whose courageous company will you keep during those times? Whose courageous company will you lean into when you need direction, when you need guidance? Whose courageous company will you keep? The fourth thing is promise of the Good Shepherd being our protector. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though, which is a blanket statement like it's going to happen. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm sure you've heard this before, but a shepherd's rod was meant to do what? Feed off the what? Knock away the wolves. To deflect and to get in the way of anything that would harm the sheep. The staff could serve the same purpose, but a purpose of the staff is to bring the sheep back in when they lose their direction, when they forget whose company they need to be in when life gets hard. In our day and age, maybe more so than it's been in at least my personal lifetime, the more true it is that the closer we stick to Jesus, the more clear it becomes that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the more dependent upon him we will become. We won't be praying less, we'll be praying more. The more aware of the darkest valley means it's not just death, but in the midst of a chaotic, confused, angry, arrogant, fear-filled culture, what does it look like for you and for me to live faithfully to Jesus? Will we allow to be ourselves, to commit ourselves, to be consistently in the company of Jesus, for him to fend off with his rod the wolves that come at us, and to allow him to use his staff to bring us back in him? Whose company do you keep as you walk through the valley? we have here another promise, the rod and the staff, tools of protection that the protector uses in keeping us safe, keeping us with. The last one is preview, the preview of what's to come. Verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Think back to the beginning of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my good shepherd. I lack nothing. I have all I need plus. You prepare, surely your goodness and love will pursue me, will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The purpose of previews before movies is to do what? Show us what's to come, right? Show us what's about to happen. Build excitement of what's to come. And what's to come for you? And what's to come for me and for all followers of Jesus is the day when He returns, when we see Him face to face, when we literally talk to Him face to face. It's something that we don't have language to describe with right now, but it will be amazing. Amazing. When we see Jesus face to face, when we talk to Him face to face, when we hug Him. Any of you imagine what it's going to be like to give Jesus a hug? Best hug ever, right? Best hug ever. Best high five ever. Best fist bump. You're going to get the little sparkles when you fist bump Jesus. It will be a boom because it's going to be awesome. Maranatha, come Lord. As we close this out, how do we live in a culture that is angry, that is confused, that is fear-filled, arrogant, and is in chaos? And it's not going to change. That's one thing we can really count on. You can count on taxes, and you can count on our culture like not. I mean, the church needs to be less fear-filled, less chaotic, less stressed out. Absolutely. It's the reason we have sermons like these. It's the reason we have texts like Psalm 23 that remind us of who our provider is, of where we get peace from, reminds us on the path. It reminds us of the protection that we have. It reminds us of what is coming when He comes back. But our culture isn't going to get less fear-filled. In fact, it's going to amp up because there's an election coming in a little while. It is going to get, I mean, the fear is going to be pumped out of the TVs, out of the radios. How do we continue to live, and not just live, but thrive? Maybe we allow Psalm 23 to really speak to us. Maybe we really, really dive deep into the promise that Jesus is our good shepherd. And in Him, I and we and you, we lack nothing. Nothing. We have nothing to be afraid of. Because Jesus is our good shepherd. Whose company do you keep as you travel through life? I got my check mark with country music reference. I didn't get my check mark with a sports reference. Hang on, next week I'll get that check mark. But I do have a Lord of the Rings check mark. Go ahead and press play.
Come along, Samwise. Keep up. Be careful, both of you. The enemy has many spies in his service. Birds, beasts. Is it safe? Never put it on, for the agents of the Dark Lord will be drawn to its power. Always remember, Frodo, the ring is trying to get back to its master. It wants to be found.
else is that? This is what? If I take one more step, it'll be the farthest away from home I've ever been. Come on, Sam. Remember what Bilbo used to say? It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.
Whose company will you keep as you travel through life? Jared, you guys can come on up. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus makes this bold statement. He says, I am the vine and y'all are the branches. If y'all, we'll make it personal, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We must, as a church and as individuals, as family units, as couples, as if you're single, you and I and we must commit and focus to cultivating a faith that is willing to stand up in the midst of fear, not conforming, not withdrawing, but stand up because of our confidence in the one in whose company we keep. That is our good shepherd. Amen, church? Amen. Stand with me, please. We are going to pray, and after we pray together, we will have an invitation song for anybody who would like to respond to the gospel of Jesus. If you are here this morning and you would like to talk about more about this good shepherd and what he may mean in your life, please come find me, grab one of our elders. We'll be happy to talk with you, to listen to you, and to pray with you. If you have prayers that you would like for your church family to pray for, please come down here and see me. But however you need to respond, please do so after we pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, you are so good to us. Father, thank you for the promises that we have in your word, that Jesus is our good shepherd. May we choose daily to focus and to commit standing up with him and keeping our eyes and our hearts and our lives directed with him as we go throughout each and every single day of our lives. Jesus, may we know you as our provider. May we know you as our peace giver. May we trust in you as you guide and direct our paths. May we know you as our protector. Jesus, keep us ever so mindful of the preview that is to come when you come back. Till then, empower us, equip us to be faithful to you, to your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. All who agree, say with me. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together.